Hi everyone, and welcome back to The Occasional Barista. My name is Chris, and today we're going to introduce a segment called Coffee Support. And it's only because we've been noticing a lot of people have been writing in talking about how, all right, I have a coffee, I just tried it with a friend, it has massive notes of blueberry or strawberry or peach, and when I buy that same coffee and I try to brew it myself, I wind up having a really sour note. And a lot of the times it's when you're working with African coffees. For this particular person, it was an Ethiopian coffee with hints of blueberry, and they just couldn't get rid of the sour taste. No matter how much they grinded finer, they just didn't seem like they could get rid of it. And the reason why we're gonna bring this up is because it really is a problem that touches upon a lot of good kind of like coffee techniques and understandings that's really going to up your coffee game at home. So starting off with under extraction, this person is dealing most likely with under extraction. If we're going to assume that they've had a lighter roasted coffee, similar to the one that they just bought a bag that their friend had that's an Ethiopian coffee, we're going to assume that they're kind of used to just lighter roasted coffees in general, because lighter roasted coffees, if you're not used to it, are going to taste way more sour than darker coffees that are a little bit more medium to dark roasted coffees that normally you would go purchase at a store or go to your cafe and order. Now, if we're going to assume this, then the only things that they can really be dealing with is, again, under extraction. So they're used to coffees, the lighter roasted coffees. They just still don't know how to get rid of the sour taste on their own. Well, they try to go finer. And honestly, that's a good first step. If you're dealing with coffee that tastes too sour, then maybe there's a problem with your grind size. Okay. And we're going to assume, just for all intensive purposes, that they're using a pour over, because that will most likely, a lot of home brewers are using a pour over. And if they have their own grinder and they're grinding at home, luckily they have the ability to adjust to a finer setting. And that's honestly a good step for a couple of reasons. That means A, it being finer means that the actual water running through the bed of coffee is going to take a longer amount of time. You have to think about, if you had massive rocks, okay, and you tried pouring water through it, it would run probably quite quickly through, versus if you poured water into sand, it's gonna take a while to get through all those small little cracks and distribute through them. And it's kind of under that same concept of understanding, okay, why you might grind finer or why you might grind coarser. So again, if it's running too slow for you, you're going to go coarser. If you think it's running too fast, you're going to go finer. And what that does, again, is the amount of time that water's touching beans, allowing it to extract. And that's why their first step to try to reduce down under extraction was correct. Yeah, maybe mess with your grind size. That's a good one, especially if you think that you're water to coffee ratio is good, that your water temperature is good, that you think you have proper brewing technique. Okay, then maybe start there. Start with your grind size. They said, though, even when they grind finer, they still can't get rid of that sour taste. So we're going to go a step further. You're still dealing with under extraction. You made it finer. What's going wrong? Well, we could go into now, all right, how are they brewing this thing? What is their actual technique in regards to pouring and doing the actual pour over? And one thing we can immediately, that might solve their problem is, A, are you blooming your coffee? Are you blooming your coffee long enough? If you especially have a freshly roasted coffee and you didn't really give it the 2 weeks to kind of sit and degas a bit, then you're really gonna experience a pretty large bloom. And blooms, unfortunately, I've been like looking at all these forums, I've been looking at online just to see what resources are out there for people who are brewing coffee at home. And the problem is everyone is going to try to make it as simple as possible for people by giving them like rule of thumbs. And unfortunately, when you give like a generic, like, all right, always pour 50 grams in, or only stick to this ratio for coffee, you're putting it's like a one-size-fits-all solution that's not really a solution at all. Every coffee is different. Every roaster is different. And that means you should technically be really switching how long you're blooming for, how much coffee you're inputting in, for how much water you're inputting in, for final output that's going to be different than pretty much most other coffees. And that's something that I really want a lot of you to take away from this is, I've stressed this in other episodes, but always ensuring that you are, again, experimenting with your coffee. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. I buy bags all the time, and even the same bag of coffee, I'm going to switch the ratio from day to day, or I might do something different from day to day just because the coffee's always changing. And again, always switching up your grind sizes in between bags. Don't think that something's wrong with your grinder or anything like that. It just means that you're adjusting to what your flavor and taste preferences are. And if you have to mess with your grind sizes because it's a different bean, the different beans have different densities, actual hardness after roasting, it's going to affect how it's going to go through your grinder. So don't feel like you're losing your mind here. It's all part of the fun, really. But it really is something that please kind of like take everything with a grain of salt. When you see a one size fits all, it's just not the case. So if I were to hear that you're having issues, you've made your coffee a little bit finer, that's not doing the trick, I'd probably say, all right, maybe let your bloom go for a little longer. Everyone says 30 seconds. Honestly, I do a lot of it by sight. If you're physically seeing it degas and it's almost like it's growing and it looks like one of those science experiments, the old baking soda volcanoes almost, like it's right about to erupt and then it like a little hole in the center kind of just like starts flapping away. I mean, that's just gas releasing. And another thing that you can do to ensure that your water is actually hitting all the grinds as it's blooming, which is super important to always ensure that water's touching all the grounds that you put in, is agitating the bed of coffee itself. So as you're pouring in, agitate. And agitate, all that means is get it like a stir stick, put it in there as you're pouring, kind of stir it up. And that's just to make sure that you're hitting all the grounds. And making sure you have an even extraction of all the grounds. That's what you're trying to achieve. A large part of you experiencing a very sour taste in your coffee could be because you did all the right steps. You have the right grind size. You had the right pouring technique. You have the right equipment, okay? You have the right ratios. The problem is you didn't hit all the grounds of coffee when you did your initial bloom. Now coffee's extracting at different rates. It's not all at the same time anymore. Coffee that was initially blooming is now done with its blooming as you're doing your second pour in. And now that coffee that didn't get any water touch is going to go through a blooming process. And now you're going to have eventually an under-extracted cup just because certain grounds of coffee inside your bed are under-extracted. And it's hard to get rid of those notes. You can't get rid of those notes of under-extraction if that's how the end product was brewed. So again, you've tried making it a little finer. Now you're going to, of course, we're talking about blooming here, which is just degassing after your first initial pour. And that's not working even after you made sure it's all agitated and the grounds are all agitated. Well, then you might think about maybe, all right, it's just you're pouring too much in the center. It could be like the actual kettle you're using might be too aggressive. It's really stirring up the ground, so it's just flowing through. And that kind of depends on you looking at how much water is coming out of the bottom of whatever process, like V60, Kalita Wave, Chemex, really. At that point, you kind of got to watch it and then just maybe go a little bit and work on your flow rate. Flow rate, again, is just going to be something that's going to make sure you're as even as possible. Very steady pour, nothing to agitate the grounds any more than you already did, just because, again, you're trying to make sure it's an even extraction as possible. spreading around your heat really is why you're going to be moving the water around. If you're only pouring in the center, that means you're going to have hot water that's going to try to distribute out, but most of the times it's going to go to the path of least resistance, which is straight down. So you really need to make sure you're spreading out your pores. The little figure eight, that's why you always see people slowly doing their methodical. Each person has their own little loop that they do in the coffee that they get used to. But all you're making sure is you're distributing out the hot water to make sure for the most even extraction as possible. Also, a steady pour to make sure you're not agitating the grounds any more so than you already have on purpose. Now, if you're really dealing with a coffee that's just, you cannot get rid of the sour notes, you've kind of messed with, of course, the grind size, you messed with the blooming, you've messed with agitating, you messed with your flow rate, I would also say maybe look at your ratios. If you're not putting enough coffee in, it's going to run through at an alarming rate, especially if you're using a lot of water. It's going to just taste a little bit watery, so not as, and that could lead to you perceiving it to be a little bit more sour or bright. But if you're done all these steps and it's just not happening, then maybe A, you need to let it, it might have been too freshly roasted of a coffee, you need to let it sit for a little while, or you know what? Sometimes roasters make mistakes. It's not you. It's just the roaster. And some fun things to do with a coffee like this really is, honestly, I've messed with coffees making my own blends just to see what it would taste like. And you messing with ratios, I've done it sometimes even with contract work to make our own blend. You know, you got to take certain coffees. You of course, brew it together with different ratios, see what works best. And honestly, half the time you might make a really balanced coffee if you mix the pretty, honestly, under-roasted coffee with a coffee that's a little bit, you know, more medium to dark with a little bit more chocolate notes that might be able to overpower some of that sour notes. You might be able to get away with that. But honestly, again, it's not really your fault at the end of the day. And hopefully, you know, the next time you buy a bag of coffee, hopefully the roasters fix the problem. And again, there's other things you can do where mixing with milk might help reduce it down a bit more. But at the end of the day, it's really about making sure you go back to basics before you start blaming the roaster, of course, making sure that you're doing the right steps. Hopefully roasters would never put out a product they weren't proud of. So, just ensure you're doing your due diligence, going through the different steps and trying to help stray away from under extraction. Now, we're going to be kind of talking about some of those other falsehoods. So there's this whole idea behind the golden ratio, and it's a 1:18 ratio. And when people talk about ratios, all it is grounds of coffee. So 1:18 is for every 1 gram of coffee you're putting in, you're going to do 18 grams of water out. And the golden ratio is this whole idea of it's a 1:18. I think I looked online, it was 55 grams to 1,000 milliliters of water. Wow. For the most part, I'm not really a person who drinks 1,000 milliliters of water or coffee. My go-to ratios, again, always change. It's constantly changing. And a lot of the ratios I actually brew tend to stick into 1:16. I brewed 1:14 if I'm really trying to pull out a certain notes. Again, it's constantly changing, and it's a little bit too, I kind of like a heavier bodied coffee, and sometimes I want lighter, I might bump it back up to 1:17, 1:18. But what I'm basically trying to put and say to you guys is that there is no such thing as a golden ratio. It's the whole misconception about espresso of 1:2 ratio, and you need to ensure it's 2 ounces and all this nonsense. Every coffee is different, and it's the same ratios that these people came up with from how long ago. And you know, coffee has changed, and our understanding of coffee is constantly changing. I've done blooms based off of, there's a ex-biochemist up in Canada who's now kind of devoted his life to kind of figuring out coffee, but using the same techniques and procedures that he used in biochemistry. And he actually did tons of studies based off of weighing out the water in versus the final output that you actually wind up in your cup, and like certain extraction rates and how much water is actually being retained inside the coffee itself. And he started coming up with to get the true amount of extraction, meaning how much water you're putting in is reaching somewhat similar of the amount of water that's actually winding up in your cup. He did a 3-minute bloom, which a lot of people brew to 3 minutes just by itself. And again, this is not for coffee shops to try to, and this is why it's a flawed idea in some regards for coffee shops to even try to implement this way of brewing pour overs into their shops here, because it's just, I mean, people barely have the patience, you know, for 5-minute coffees. I mean, I'm a busy person. Like I can't wait all the time for a pour over. That's why I get espresso to go. But, you know, sometimes it's just one of those things where it's like, this is technically, if we're going to go to a biochemist standpoint and outlook, you know, I've tried it and it was actually pretty interesting by doing a 3-minute bloom, how it affects your coffee. Not to go too dive too deep into this, but it really creates like a wash process will really have a lot of characteristics of a honey process or even a natural process. It really makes a round bodied coffee. It will dull out some notes, but like brighter notes, but it really kind of turned out to be a fantastic way to brew certain coffees. I haven't really found much success in doing it with a natural or honey, but really for a wash process, it really makes a huge difference in regards to your final output and product at the end of the day. But the only reason I'm bringing that up too is just because, again, this is a person who's a biochemist, like he's devoted his life to this, and the studies that he shows, that he posts, that you could look up, is basically the actual extraction, and we measure by like TDS, total dissolved solvents, but it's one of those things where it's just one method of measurement. And I'm not saying this is like the end all be all for pour over methods here, but again, challenging these traditional rule of thumbs, the golden ratio. I mean, I wouldn't trust anything called something like the fact that they have to make it the golden ratio to try to fool people is ridiculous. I don't understand it. But again, if you're finding great success with it, that's great. But I think you could find even better success. And like anything else, it's about trying to really, like every day is my goal to brew the perfect cup of coffee, which is non-existent, but at least my favorite cup of coffee that I've ever had. And that's the fun of it, is constantly tweaking to get to that point. Now, the last little coffee support thing I want to talk about is somebody mistakenly bought espresso beans and they don't have an espresso maker. What can I do with the beans? Now, this is what's interesting, is espresso beans is no different than any other beans. It's just roasted differently. I mean, I've even thrown people throw single origins all the time on like just for fun. I mean, certain shops, of course, serve single origin as their espresso like year round. And that's because they roasted that single origin to a specific roast profile that they want for their espresso. But I'm saying like bags of beans, like that you would normally perceive to be used for like a Mr. Coffee machine or like a pour over. I've had friends at shops where we've thrown it through EK grinders and pulled single origin shots, and they were fantastic, by the way. It's so bright and vibrant and tons of fun. You get crazy notes out of those things. But again, there is no such thing as espresso beans that you can only brew espresso. I hope my my old owners don't kill me here, but we used to throw when like and this is the dark side of coffee, I guess you could say, because when you run out of beans because there's like a backstop on ordering, or just a, honestly, miscalculation, human error, we had a massive rush and we kind of ran out of coffee for a cold brew here. Yeah, we were throwing espresso beans inside our toddies just to, you know, make sure we have cold brew to serve to people. And it tastes different, of course. It's a different coffee, but still a fantastic end product. People were loving it. But it's just like one of those things that you have to adapt when you're in a shop setting there. And, you know, we used espresso beans for cold brew, and we used espresso beans sometimes when our drip coffee was ran out, when our blend ran out. So it's just one of those things that coffee, it can be used for so many things. It's not just a one purpose thing, even though they might say this is our espresso. It's just because they might roast a little darker. The caffeine content's no different between those beans and another, really. And it's not because of, how basically like the labeling is going to make that difference. You have to understand that the coffee beans are just roasted differently. But I hope that this will help you guys out there in regards to, you know, your brewing at home, dealing with under extraction, how to fix that problem there. Going over kind of like the golden ratio. Don't listen to it. Have more fun. It's more fun. There's too many rules in life. You got to break those rules. Let's be honest here. And honestly, you'll probably brew the next time you like pour, like do a pour over, or, you know, your Mr. Coffee machine. Like, hey, hopefully you have a better coffee than you did yesterday. And that's really what it is all about at the end of the day. Kind of going into, and I did go on a small tangent about that biochemist, but again, it's one of those things where 3-minute blooms could not be perceived. You know, everyone's like 30 seconds, it's 30 seconds, it has to be 30 seconds. No, sometimes it's 45 seconds, 47, 27, you know, like 20. You know, it just depends how old and when it was roasted and how it was roasted and what kind of beans they are. So throw away those rules of thumb and kind of explore. Just make sure you're doing your due diligence, though, if you're tasting this note, you know, kind of now how to kind of get to where you want to be, and making sure you're always blooming though. And then finally, mistakenly bought espresso beans. Again, don't listen to the titles. It's all marketing at the end of the day. They're just steering you away because again, it is roasted for espresso machine beans a little bit darker, but at the end of the day, you can still use those beans. So don't throw away those beans. Trust me, we'll go over a whole episode about what it takes for a bean to go from the farms, you know, to your cup. And it is quite a process. And it's why I'm personally willing to spend like 30, 40 bucks on a bag of coffee, because the amount of hands that are actually involved in that process to get it eventually to that bag of coffee is remarkable. And really, those people are very much underappreciated, and we can have a whole episode based on dedicated to them. But until then, I hope that this has helped you. Please follow us on Instagram at The Occasional Barista. We're now posting YouTube videos. Our YouTube videos are currently up at The Occasional Barista, so you can listen to the podcast there. Until then, please stay safe out there and happy brewing.